Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's The Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm joined this week by the super sub, Joe Champion. Steve Palmer's off this week. He just finds this week too weird. He can't hack it. And the last time Joe was in, 4 or 5 weeks ago, he banged in a nice 22-1 winner, I think, in Brandon Grace. So hopefully he can come off the bench and nod one in again. Joe, before we look at, we've got three tournaments. It's a very, very peculiar week. I'll spell out what's coming up, but we'll quickly touch upon what happened, let's say, at the weekend. It's only yesterday, isn't it? Justin Harding and Matt Jones made it a winning double for those who kept faith with the leaders after 54 holes. I know I'm a suckler for this. When you get a player who isn't one of the big names and they're two or three clear, I'm always looking to lay them. But this time it wouldn't have worked. Harding got it done nicely in Kenya, didn't he? And Matt Jones was really good, I thought, in the final round. I thought it was absolutely superb. He was getting a bit of heat, wasn't he, from at one point, but he came through and won by 5 shots, which was a fantastic performance, wasn't it? Much else to add to that?
No, you've summed it up quite neatly there, Bruce, really. Justin Harding's a good player in that calibre of field, isn't he? And I think he did what he needed to do. There were guys coming at him. That course is obviously quite easy for the players. And we'll touch upon that again, because obviously they're at the same place this week. Matt Jones, though, I thought he was brilliant, wasn't he? Wise came at him and then he hit one in the water and faded away. And in the end, it was easy for Matt Jones. But that course, PGA National, is not an easy course to negotiate, is it? There's water at every turn. And we saw people making big scores frequently. And you saw, I think what best summed up his tournament was that little fist pump he had on 17 when he hit the green. And that, he knew from there that with the easy par five to come, he couldn't really lose it.
But you could end up I was long gone by then. The tournament was won. I drifted away, unfortunately. But I mean, he's 40. He's a dual winner on the US Tour now, isn't he? He's obviously got the cojones to get the job done when he's in contention, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely does. And he's won twice at the Australian Open as well in his home country. And he's beaten good players there as well. He beat Jordan Spieth. He beat Louis Oosthuizen as well. So, definitely can get it done when he's in the mix. So, fair play to him. And also fair play for coping with playing with JB Holmes for the final round. God.
Yeah, exactly. Because Jones is notoriously quick and Holmes is about the slowest. Now, I think they said Jones went 13 minutes without hitting a shot because JB carted his into the trouble, didn't he? And then just spent an age trying to get relief and trying to work it out. To be fair, that probably wasn't his fault, that one. But playing with that snail can't be easy when you want to get on with it, can it?
No, not at all. He's slow enough when he's playing well, JB Holmes. And he was, as you say, he's hacking it all over the place yesterday. So, great performance from Jones.
Okay, let's look ahead then. It is a very peculiar week, as I've said. At 4 a.m. on Tuesday morning, we've got what's it called, Joe? The Savannah something or other, isn't it?
Savannah Classic.
The Savannah Classic, back at the same course in Kenya, the Karen Country Club. The main event this week is the Dell World Golf Championship Match Play, which is the one with about a zillion runners and it's a knockout. And that starts on Wednesday. That's always very random. And then we've also got the Punta Cana event, which is a kind of more regulation event starting on Thursday. So a lot to be getting on with. We'll start with the Dell Match Play, and I'll give you a clue on the prices. Again, shop around, as we always say, for the best prices. But Bryson DeChambeau heads the market at 12-1, along with Justin Thomas. Dustin Johnson, 14s. John Rahm, 14s. Morikawa, even 18s. And Rory, 20s. 25 bar. So there you go. It's a stellar field for a very peculiar tournament. Take us through the format first before we get your selections, Joe.
So we've got 64 players here. It should be the top 64 in the world. We've got a few people obviously not playing. Obviously, Tiger's not there. Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, Gary Woodland, and one other who I can't quite think of are not playing. So it was the top 69 available players as of last week. So Dylan Fratelli snuck in as the final man. And what we've got is we've got 16 groups of four, and they'll all play each other once in sort of round robin format. And then only the winner will progress to the last 16, and then it just becomes straight knockout from there.
Okay, because it used to be a straight knockout, didn't it? It was mad, wasn't it? But I think probably most of them got fed up going all that way just for 18 holes of golf.
They want to get the big names on TV as well as much as they can whilst they're still in the tournament as well, don't they?
And since they switched to this kind of group format, has has class ridden to the top? Who's been winning this in recent years?
We've had good winners recently. Jason Day won the first one when it moved to Austin Country Club in 2016, and DJ's won since. The biggest surprise of them all was probably Kevin Kisner winning last time. He beat Matt Kuchar in the final. But generally, we've had top players come in doing well in this. And I expect we'll probably see something similar again, because some of the class acts won't make it through the group stage, but most of them probably will. And then from there on, it's every man for himself.
Okay, Joe, how many selections have you got?
I've got three this week, and we should say that they're playing bookmakers playing eight places on this. So if you reach the quarterfinals, you're quid's in.
They're not all doing that though, are they? So it's really crucial to shop around. I know some aren't, so just be careful, because I've seen a couple of shows of four. What you don't want to do is back someone and find that they went out in the quarterfinals and you didn't get paid, because you basically backed them to each way terms were based on them getting to the semi. So it's crucial to shop around for the best place terms. But that's great news. If you can just get one through to the quarters, you've got much more of a chance. I like this tournament a little more. Who's your headline, Joe?
So I'm not going to stray too far from the obvious this week. And my number one selection is Justin Thomas, who, of course, won the Players' Championship in fantastic style a couple of weeks ago. He was brilliant there, wasn't he? And over the weekend, his long game came together. He's such a classy player when it all comes together. And I think we saw such a good performance. And he strikes me, Thomas, he always has, as a player who, once he hits form, he stays in form for a while. And this is a track where he's reached the semi-finals before a couple of years ago. And as I say, he's so good when he's in form that I expect he should be able to come through a group. I just watched the draw about an hour ago. It was, as you can imagine, quite a painful PGA Tour affair.
Oh my God, they actually televise it, do they?
It's live on Golf TV, yeah.
Did they have Justin Timberlake or someone pulling the balls out?
They had a couple of players on Zoom, and a couple of people probably associated with Dell and other things like that. It's a very corporate affair.
More importantly, did Thomas get a good draw?
Now, Justin Thomas's draw, I've been put off slightly by this. I'll admit he's got Kuchar and Kisner, the last two finalists, and Louis Oosthuizen as well, who's a former winner. But I do think that when you're Justin Thomas, you don't need to worry about that. You can just concentrate on playing your game. And he's got the power to cope with this course. I mean, Kisner won around here and he is short, but most of the time, the longer hitters have done well. Like Lucas Bjerregaard got to the semi-finals a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember that. He beat Tiger Woods in the quarterfinals, Bjerregaard. He's a long hitter. That's his game. And I think, yeah, JT's really going to thrive around here. And if he does win, then he's likely to face one of Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Matt Wolff, or Corey Connors. Not the toughest heat going, I don't think. Spieth's never been a particularly good match play player, and Fitzpatrick short. Wolff's been in woeful form. I think Connors probably the dark horse in that group. He's been playing very well recently. And yeah, Justin Thomas as well. He's got such a great match play record for the US team in the Ryder Cup. They went down, of course, in Paris a couple of years ago. Justin Thomas was the top US point scorer that week. And he's also been the top point scorer on two occasions in the President's Cup as well. He's clearly a good match player, and I think he's primed to go well again this week.
You make a very good case for Justin Thomas as well as JT. Who else are you going to go for, Joe?
So I've got a couple who haven't actually played in this event before, but I think they really have what it takes to thrive in match play. And the first one is Sung Jae Im, who is pretty much as solid as you can get every week. He's brilliant. And, you know, he was eighth last week. I know Steve put him up. He probably was expected of him. But it's another in a long line of solid performances from Sung Jae Im. He's got the long game class to handle this track. And providing the putts start to drop, which is the big question mark with him, he will be in the mix. But I mentioned Justin Thomas's President's Cup form. Sung Jae Im was the joint best international player at the 2019 President's Cup, and that was on his debut as well. And he's, you know, if this is match play, so you have one bad hole, it's not a massive issue. He makes more birdies than anyone else on the PGA Tour. I know he plays more than anyone else as well, but yeah, he's made 54 more birdies than second place Emiliano Grillo this season. So I think match play is made for him. And the last one I like is Max Homa, who is a big price, around 70-1. And part of the reason for that is that the guys who are not seeded in the top, they're going to be drawn against someone good. He's in the group with Colin Morikawa, JT Poston, and Billy Horschel. Morikawa, obviously the man to beat in that group, but I wouldn't necessarily be relying on him. He's not played a lot of match play, and who knows how his putting will hold up. It was great when he won the Workday Championship, the last WGC event, but at the Players, he fell to pieces with the putter over the first sort of the middle rounds and pulled it back late on. But I wouldn't trust him as the number four seed in Group Four.
Okay, so we've got JT at round about 12-1. We've got Sung Jae Im at round about 28-1. And around about 80-1, Max Homer. Like I say, shop around for best prices, best place. Thank you very much for the match play. We'll move on to Kenya now, because like I say, you need to get your bets on before you go to bed on Monday night, unless you're a milkman, in which case you might just be the 4 a.m. start. Now, we're not going to dwell too long on this because we're back at the same place in Kenya with a virtually identical field. I don't think there's going to be too much TV action. This is probably going to live very firmly in the shadow of the Dell match play. But what have you sussed for us in Kenya?
Yeah, I think when it comes to this tournament, the bookies have obviously got a good handle on it. They saw most of them play last week. And the guys who performed well last week, Harding, he's obviously been cut massively. He's like sort of 16s from 33s. Kitayama 14-1.
Oh, let's do the market. Sorry, Joe, just quickly. Yeah. Kitayama's actually fav with one firm, so 12-1 Kitayama. Harding 16-1 to follow up. Migliozzi is 20-1. Horsfield's 20. I don't think Horsfield played last week, so he's about the one addition to the field that didn't turn up last week, although I may be wrong on that.
He was in it last week.
He was?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So in actual fact, it's pretty much identical. Roman Langask, 22s. Gorgeous George Kotsia, 25s. And a few others at 25s. How many selections?
I've got four in this, Bruce.
Go on, then rattle through them, my friend.
Well, it's interesting you should mention Sam Horsfield because he's my best bet this week. He was flying under the radar last week, as you've
alluded to. That I didn't think he played in it.
He was eighth last week, as it happened.
Was he?
On his seasonal reappearance, closing with a 65, which is probably why he crept his way towards the top 10, having started a bit slower. Sam Horsfield is a top player. If you think about when the European Tour returned in the summer, he won the Hero Open and the Celtic Classic after finishing 10th for the British Masters. And then they played that second of the two Wales events, and he went off at sort of about 12-1 favourite for that, sort of finished down the field. But those two wins were great. And then suddenly in the autumn, he caught COVID-19, that ruled him out of the US Open. And then he had a number of back problems, which have really hitting him in recent events. But he looks to be over that now. As I say, he didn't start the season in Arabia like most of the guys did. Came back at Karen last week and played really well. Promising signs that he's back to his best, and we can expect him to be a bit better for that run. I expect he'll be a lot less rusty now. And this is a place where the long drivers, it's quite a confined, tight track, but long drivers have been able to take advantage of these short par fours and these gettable par fives, and Horsfield drives it with some of the best on tour. And I think last week should be hugely encouraging for him. So he's definitely my best bet of those who played last week, whose prices have been cut a bit. But he should probably be a little bit shorter than he is.
Okay, and three others, Joe, very briefly.
I'll stick with Garrett Higo, who I put up in the Racing and Football Outlet last week, and I know Steve was keen on. I'm happy to back him again at this course. He was fifth here on the Sunshine Tour and 16th last week. Looked like he was going to place and then made a double on the 15th. But I feel like he obviously likes this course, and that's three solid performances in a row from him. So a better putting display in the final round, probably should have seen him place. So I think Higo is a star of the future and one that I really like. And I've got two more at bigger prices who did both play last week, but probably one of them started really well, and that was Adrian Meronk. He was available about 100-1 this week, and Meronk opened with a 65. He's like, he showed that he can handle this course, and then had a third round 67. It was just the second and the fourth round that were the problem for Meronk. He does need to be more consistent, but I think at 100-1, you can definitely take the chance with a player who's shown that he can make low scores around here. And the other one around a similar price is Grant Forrest, the Scotsman, who was 19th in Qatar on his, and then was 33rd in this last week. Now, 33rd doesn't look that good on paper, but if you actually look into it, He started on the 10th tee in the first round, and through 14 holes, he was four over for the tournament. And at a course where Justin Harding's won at 20 under, that's just not going to get it anywhere close to getting it done. So he played his last 58 holes in 14 under par. And, you know, if he just doesn't make those same mistakes early on again, then I feel like he's got a great chance of at least improving on 33rd. I expect him to be sort of more towards the top 20, and you can get him at just short of three-figure price, which seems fair. He's one of the longest on tours, and he's got to grip with the course now, so I expect him to do better.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Joe. So we'll just summarise there. You've gone for, take us through just the names again of the Kenya selections.
So Sam Horsfield's the best bet, Garrick Higo, Adrian Meronk, and Grant Forrest.
Okay, and the third event this week takes place in beautiful Dominican Republic, Punta Cana Championship. It starts at midday on Thursday, kind of conventional US start time. Thomas Peters, 16-1. Charlie Hoffman, 18-1. An old sweet spot favourite to be first round leader. Emiliano Griot, you can get him at round about 22s. Jonathan Vega, 25. Thomas Detry, 25. Danny Willett, 28. Brennan Wu, 28, and it's 30-1 bar those. Okay, so it's not a stellar field, Joe, is it? Who would you expect to come out on top? How many are you putting your faith in?
I've got another four for this one.
Another four. Okay, give us your headliner.
Well, I should say, of those at the top of the market, I'm not particularly interested in them, so I've looked a bit further down here. I mean, you're looking at Thomas Peters and Emiliano Griot. They just never win. I think Charlie Hoffman was probably the best bet of those.
Time form squiggles all over the place there, yeah. Isn't there? A lot of non-winners there.
Yeah, no, my best bet comes a bit further down. I mean, you may call him a non-winner as well, but it's Charles Howell the III.
He's the patron saint, mate. Mind you, I tweet my words because we always go on about Charles Howell. Just he's got an allergy to the top five on a Sunday, hasn't he? And I think he got it done a couple of years ago, didn't he? The years. I can't remember where that was. But, okay, make the case for Charles Howell III then.
Yeah, so Chucky Three Sticks, he missed the cut on his debut in this last year, but I'm not too bothered about that. Last time out at the Players' Championship in a much, much stronger field, he drove the ball fantastically all week. I think he ranked second for total driving, finishing ninth at the Players. And that's superb form in this sort of grade. And this is a much easier test for him. And he's played well at the Coast before. Possibly the best course fit for this sort of a correlating course is at El Camaleon, you know, the Maya Cova.
In Mexico, yeah.
Yeah, and that's got Paspalum grass greens as well. And Charles Howell's played that. He loves that tournament. He rocks up there every year, and he's finished 23rd or better in 9 of his 12 appearances at El Camaleon. He's got a few top 10s there. And this is a guy who we know he doesn't win often, but he's won 3 times on tour. He's made heaps and heaps of money, and you're getting him at sort of around 45-1 here. And this is the sort of test where you expect Charles Howell to really be one of the market principals. I thought he'd be shorter. I can only think it's only because he missed the cut in this last year. I'm not too worried about that. His last win came on a coastal track at the RSM Classic as well. I think he's a really good bet this week.
Excellent. Charles Howell III. And three others?
Three others. Tyler McCumber is the next one. He was runner-up behind Hudson Swafford. We should say this tournament is one of 3 tournaments to be played twice on the PGA Tour this season. The other two are the Masters and the US Open. So the Corrales is in good company this week. Tyler McCumber, runner-up behind Hudson Swafford in this in September and 19th on his only previous appearance in 2018. And I feel like Tyler McCumber, he's been playing really well recently. He was at the Genesis Open, Genesis Invitational rather. He was going well through 36 holes. I think only Sam Burns was ahead of him, and then he faded. But that's a much tougher event with all those star names at Riviera. And then he was 22nd at the Players, not quite as good as Charles Howell, but still a pretty good finish. He's generally been in decent form when he returns to a track where he's played well recently. He's one I really like. And the other two, we've got 2018 winner of this, Bryce Garnett. That was the first year this was a PGA Tour event, having previously been a Korn Ferry web.com event. 2018, and was 5th in the Puerto Rico Open. I expect someone that goes well in Puerto Rico, they can probably expect to go well in here. It's a similar field, it's a similar coastal test. And 22nd at the Honda last time out, another decent performance for someone who knows the Corrales course well. He should be quite confident. And one at a slightly bigger price, who's been struggling a bit, but he's definitely one to follow by the Coast, is Pat Perez. Pat Perez won the Mayakoba Classic in 2016. I've mentioned those Paspalum greens, and he played this last year. He was 21st on his debut at the Corrales, so expect him to build on that. So Pat Perez, if he turns up, you know, he's never one to put full faith in, but if he turns up on his game, then he could go well.
The volcano, has he calmed down a bit, or does he still lose his temper every so often?
I suspect he probably still loses it from time to time. Last time I saw him, he had fantastically long hair and beard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's one of those people who everyone would say, oh, you need a lockdown haircut. And he'd be like, no, I'm always like this, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So I think basically you're fishing in round about the kind of 40 to 50 to 1 waters, aren't you? But I've seen Perez at 75 and you might even get bigger. I tell you what, Joe, that's a fantastic effort given that it's Monday. You've got three tournaments. We only knew the draw for the Dell about an hour ago. I admire your excellent study in there, Joe. That's superb. Where can we read you this week? You're obviously the resident tipster in the Racing and Football Outlook. Are you getting involved covering for Steve in the Racing Post as well this week?
No, I'll be in the RFO again this week, and Ian Wilkerson will be covering these tournaments in the RP. His Kenya Open preview is online now.
Oh, excellent. Go to racingpost.com, click on sport, and you'll find Wilco's tips. And then, obviously, like I say, get that fine weekly newspaper, the Racing and Football Outlook. Joe is in there every week. A fine golf judge he is. Right, Joe, before we go, I just need you to solemnly and simply recap your selections, because we know that obviously a lot of people want to be doing cross doubles and trebles, and there's so much going on this week, they might not have been able to catch them all. So, WGC, it's not darts, Dell Match Play Championship.
So I've gone with Justin Thomas, Sung Jae Im, and Max Homer.
In the Kenya Savannah Classic, you're going for
Sam Horsfield, Garrick Higo, Adrian Maronk, and Grant Forrest.
Don't forget, that starts at 4 a.m. on Tuesday. And then the Punta Cana Championship, which doesn't start until midday on Thursday.
Charles Howe, Tyler McCumber, Bryce Garnett, and Pat Perez.
Beautiful work, Joe. Thank you very much, champ. Well played. Good luck with your tips. What have we got next week?
We have got the Texas Open next week. Only one tournament.
Just the one. Okay, Steve, we'll be back for that. In the meantime, action-packed week. I hope you manage to back a few winners or at least get some each-way money. Don't forget to bet safely. And don't forget to join us next week for another Sweet Spot.